This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, one of the big storylines going into Week 11 is obviously the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield and that loss to the Patriots where they got thumped. It ended up costing Baker Mayfield. He had to leave the game where he had right knee contusion and he has left foot soreness. He didn't end up practicing yesterday. From reports, he's returned to practice today. And so I guess the big question is, what version of Baker Mayfield can we expect? And should the Cleveland Browns consider shutting Baker Mayfield down until he can get back right, until he can get healthy?
Yeah, Chris, at this point, I don't think so. Like, in looking at them, for the Browns standpoint, you want as much of a sample on Baker as possible, right? You're in the middle of trying to make big decisions about him. And him being out on the field, not exactly advantageous to your football team at this point. And you don't want to keep him out there at the expense of your team winning games, as the AFC we know is wide open for business. But Chris, I continue to say, I look back at the last 2 weeks, and to me, the losses are a lot more about the play of the rest of that team, especially along the lines of scrimmage, than it's been about Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that one. And I also would throw in Kevin Stefanski in that conversation because we talked about it. Their initial drive in New England, they marched 11 plays, 80-plus yards for a touchdown, and D'Ernest Johnston had 4 carries for 58 yards, and then he only touches the ball 3 more times the rest of the half. Like, it just didn't make sense that they would get away from what that offense does best, which is run the football, and that you would be overly reliant on your quarterback that you know is banged up with a torn labrum in his left shoulder to throw the football. That hasn't been the Browns' formula for success up until this point this season, and it's not going to be their formula moving forward. This is a team that's going to have to run through their offensive line, through their run game, in order to have success on the offensive side of the ball, and then their defense complements that. But when you allow a team like the Patriots to play downhill on you, get a double-digit lead, it's going to be tough for this offense and for this defense to find ways to impact the game and get things turned in their favor. So I just didn't understand Stefanski's play calling, the sequencing of plays. I thought he put his quarterback in harm's way and ultimately ended up getting Baker Mayfield knocked out of that game.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb not being a part, certainly huge aspects in all of this, right? Like, we can have all these conversations and debates, Chris, about the importance of running backs, about investing in the offensive line the way that the Cleveland Browns had. But when you get guys of this caliber at all these different spots here, at the end of the day, am I going to err on the side of saying the strength of an offensive line is going to dictate more of the running game than a running back? Sure. But, man, when you get it up to the Nick Chubb class of guys, there's a point where you got to almost look at them as equals. And I think this Browns offense is certainly bearing testament to that over the last few weeks.
Sure, I'm with you on that one. But if that's the case, you got to try to shorten the game, which would lead me to believe that Stefanski should run the football and then use the short passing game as an extension of the run game. Asking Baker Mayfield to have 5-step and 7-step drops and be right there in the pocket as a target for Matt Judon and all those pass rushes from the Patriots, that part of the game plan didn't make sense. Now, the early turnovers didn't help things. Baker Mayfield throwing the ball to the other team doesn't help things. And so I think that only exacerbates those absences that you mentioned. But this is a Cleveland Browns team that seems like they're at a crossroads. And the Detroit Lions, if they can't take care of their business, knowing that they might not have their starting quarterback in Jared Goff, then I think it's time to close the book on the 2021 Cleveland Browns and get ready for next season. I think this next couple of weeks for Cleveland before their bye week, when they've got the Detroit Lions and then the Baltimore Ravens, will tell the story on what direction this team is going to go. And then based on the information that we get from that, I think is when the organization has to make a determination on what to do with Baker Mayfield the rest of the way.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Speaking of that determination, let's check in with Cleveland and Tony Rizzo and see how well-adjusted and normal everyone's having a time right now.
You happy? You happy? Are you Baker haters? Are you guys happy? Baker looks bad, and you want to jump down his throat. I'm a Browns fan! I'm a Browns fan! It's like you're rooting against our quarterback. Like you want him to fail. To prove what? What? You were right? Do you realize what happens if this kid isn't the right guy? We're gonna suck again! It took you 20 years to find a guy to win 11 games. Now you don't think he can take you the rest of the way? Are you happy? I hope you're all happy. I hope you're happy. I know you're all ready to run him out of town, and that's fine. I don't know if he's the guy or not. I don't, and I'm starting to have real doubts about it. And it hurts, But I just can't believe the I told you, I told you, I told you. Shut up! No one wants to hear I told you. You're not a Browns fan.
Boy, it is getting weird in Cleveland now that people have started to actually look at them, Chris. Because I don't know what it is. Baker Mayfield, I was having this conversation with ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes the other day. Why has Baker Mayfield become the most polarizing quarterback in the league? Because it feels like he's the one that we've really leaned in on so much of this stuff. I think there's part of it where the way he came into the league certainly put a bullseye on his back, had a lot of early success, was a guy whose voice that we heard an awful lot, bought a very brash attitude to the position. We had a lot of questions about, can you be a quarterback in this league and talk as much talk as Baker Mayfield has? I don't think that's been the case the last couple of years, Chris, but it was enough to, I think, put a target on him in a way that's really stuck, as well as his play being somewhere around that Joe Flacco line of elite demarcation.
Well, here's what I will say about Baker. I mean, it's clear that the organization has made a decision on what they're going to do with him. I don't think that Cleveland's going to be in the quarterback market moving forward. So when we start talking about the 2022 offseason and potential landing spots for veteran quarterbacks that want out of their current circumstance, it ain't going to be Cleveland. I mean, they showed you what they did with Odell Beckham, that they're leaning toward Baker Mayfield being their guy. They got rid of Beckham because they decided that Baker Mayfield is the guy that they want to support. So I just don't necessarily see Cleveland going that direction. He's a guy that won you double-digit games. He's a guy that won a playoff game on the road. I don't necessarily know if we can judge Baker based on what we're seeing from him this year, knowing that he's got a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder the entirety of this year. I mean, that injury happened in week two against the Houston Texans. I'm supposed to just ignore what I saw in the second half of last year and on into the playoffs and just lean on what I've seen this year when I know the guy is banged up? I feel like that's unfair when it comes to the evaluation of the player. And since you already have team control over him going into the following season and then in 2023, if you want to franchise tag him, what's the rush on making any kind of definitive determination on whether or not Baker's your guy? That part of the game doesn't make sense to me.
No, and Chris, I agree with you to that part of it. The thing I think has changed, because everything you mentioned is valid, we've seen him have success in two different regimes, mind you, going back to his rookie season. Like, that's not an accident. That's a testament to the player. But what I will say is, and we heard Tony Rizzo from ESPN Cleveland very upset at the notion that Browns fans were turning on Baker. That also wasn't what happened last offseason. Remember when we had all those disgruntled quarterbacks and that weird thing that happened anytime we would put their name near Cleveland? How Browns fans would almost universally rebuff that and say, no, we got Baker. We're loyal to Baker Mayfield because he's been loyal to us, even though he was drafted there. He has been loyal to us. And so now I think what's happened, Chris, is as we get to this offseason, I think you've seen enough of Baker to say if any of those guys were really available in any material way, you absolutely take a long, hard look at them. Baker's good for the long term at the right price, and if you can't get any of those guys, but if Russell Wilson, if Aaron Rodgers, if any of those dudes are really available this offseason and you can make a move, if you're Cleveland, you absolutely swing for that because the rest of that team is built to absorb that in a real way.
Yeah, but that didn't change just based on what we've seen this year. I would have said that last year.
I agree. I'm just saying Cleveland's coming to that realization last year.
Yeah, the Cleveland fans, the dog pound, they can say one thing, but Andrew Berry, their general manager, if Russell Wilson were available this past offseason and they could have made a move for him, best believe he's going to do that. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. So, to me, that's a moot point. It's not about like whether or not the Cleveland fans are willing to accept them. It's just embracing the reality of the situation, which is right now, I don't think the Cleveland Browns can do any better at the quarterback spot. And it's not like this team is that far away from contention with Baker Mayfield at the helm. The problem is your quarterback isn't healthy. And so those handful of plays, those handful of throws that you're relying on him to make in order to be the difference in the game, His physical state, the injuries aren't allowing him to make those plays. So I just think that fans have got to pump the brakes a little bit when it comes to trying to evaluate what you've seen from him this year as an indicator on what he's going to develop into. Because I'm with you. I don't think this season needs to be a referendum on Baker just because of all the injuries that he's faced. I think he's better than what he's shown this year. And I got to give him a little bit of credit for trying to gut through an injury that most quarterbacks wouldn't even think about playing with.
This is a 24-hour news cycle thing because we gave him credit for that injury for all of like 3 days. He needs to come back. He needs to come back out with like a new walking boot or a new harness or something right now. Reaffirm to everyone, I am very injured, and make that public statement again, or else Baker Mayfield is going to continue to be the subject of a whole lot of scrutiny. But coming up next, if we're talking about ceilings for specific players, for star players, have we already seen the ceiling for one of the biggest stars we thought if in the NBA? That's next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
And Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line at Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canty 99. And Gojo, you know I'm a Lakers fan. Last night was embarrassing for me because not only did we catch the L, which I'm becoming used to when we don't have LeBron James in the lineup, but it's just the fact that Anthony Davis, who's supposed to be our star player, our best player in the absence of LeBron, gets shown up by Giannis Antetokounmpo, who proceeds to drop 47 points last night in a game that felt like it was a winnable game for the Lakers, because that was the first time that Milwaukee had their – that was the third time that Milwaukee had their big three together on the entire season. And it just seemed like in a one-possession game in the fourth quarter, you wanted Anthony Davis to be more aggressive. And the fact that he wasn't, I think, opened the door for Milwaukee and Giannis to take control late, and we ended up catching the L. So – I feel a way about it. I feel a way about Anthony Davis because he's starting to get into that territory of superstars that you just really can't trust.
Yeah, it's been such a weird trajectory for AD since he came over to Los Angeles and what the plan was supposed to be there. Anthony Davis take the baton from LeBron James as he gets older and bridge into the next, you know, decade of this franchise's very storied history. And now we're getting to this point where you want to talk about feeling some type of way. Stephen A. Smith went on First Take today and started having that top five conversation that he believes Anthony Davis is no longer a part of.
Anthony Davis, when healthy, we always throw the caveat of health. But when we look at his skill set, we say he's one of the top five players in the game of basketball. You know what we learned definitively last night? He does not belong in that conversation. Mm. Because when your mindset, and I'm not – listen, I love Anthony Davis. But when your mindset and that thing inside your chest comes into question because a guy like Giannis said, I don't give a damn who you are. You ain't on my level. And I'm coming directly at you and directly for you. And the coaching staff has to get someone else to put – on Giannis, because you can't handle that challenge and you are Anthony freaking Davis. That is a problem.
Yeah, Chris, that's the part of this that's going to be a tougher and tougher look, because I get it's the regular season. I get we're like 15 games into the year. So are the Bucks. And who has accomplished more in the recent memory, in the recent history, than Giannis Antetokounmpo? Multiple MVPs, finals MVP, finally gets that NBA championship specter away from him last year. And so if anyone was primed to come in and slough off in the regular season, it would have been him. But we know in these big-time matchups between the top competition amongst either conference, we usually get everyone's best effort. And so the fact that Anthony Davis just looked so disinterested in Giannis out there punking him for 47 is a little bit concerning. It's not as concerning as the Lakers' just general lack of chemistry with the lineups as their roster's currently constructed, but it's got to be up there near the top.
Oh, no question about it. And then you see the juxtaposition between where Giannis is taking his game this year as opposed to where he was last year or even in those MVP years. Like, Giannis has started to develop more of a perimeter game. You saw it down the stretch in the fourth quarter of that game where he's taking guys off of the bounce. The one I'm thinking of is THT when it's a 101 to 95, 96 game, and he's taking them off the bounce, and he's got a spin move, jump hook right there at the free throw line. Like, that's an element that we didn't see from Giannis last year. That's something that we haven't seen. His shooting motion looks more natural, more fluid. Like, you're seeing that in the offseason. This is not a guy that's resting on his laurels. He's continuing to develop his skill set as well as develop his body so that he can become even more dominant when he comes back the following year. And we've never been able to make that claim about Anthony Davis. Like, we don't see that same trajectory in terms of continuing to be an ascending player. And that's the part as a Lakers fan that's a little bit alarming, because from a physical tool standpoint, I mean, AD's got a lot of the same gifts that Giannis has. I mean, I would argue that AD is a better shooter than Giannis is from the perimeter. And yet we're not seeing AD have the same impact on his team winning as Giannis is, and that's got to be a huge concern, especially when the team is in a position where they need him to be that guy, because you've been missing LeBron James for a little over 2 weeks. So that's the problem that I have with AD, and at some point it's going to have to click on from him. And Stephen A. is not wrong when you start questioning his mentality, when you start questioning his heart, because we want to know as fans, like, how important is it to you to maximize your potential and to do everything that you can to help this team compete at a championship level? And watching that game last night, it was clearly more important to Giannis than it was to AD. Something about that has to change if LeBron James is going to get another chip.
Yeah, and listen, we know it's not a perfect comp. Like, Giannis, while he is starting to get into more of these big man conversations in terms of his dominance, he can be a little more of an initiator of offense. That's not to say Anthony Davis can't, in his own way, run the offense through him on the wings, like you said, be a better shooter. But we just see it. It's hard to define and quantify mentality as much as it is to look on the court in head-to-head matchups like this and see the way one player attacks it versus another. So the Lakers are going to continue to be under this scrutiny. LeBron James is a great mask. He is a great deodorant on his own. Forget just winning. He can make all of this situation a little more null and void, because he's going to take all of the attention in a situation. But we know he's been less and less available over the last few years, and so these moments are going to be more and more valuable for the Lakers. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next, it doesn't feel like the Lakers have many great options right now. We will try and give you some better ones around the world of sports. We'll do that next after this word from Vivid Seats. Now, with the safe return of live events, you can actually be there and watch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right. Every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every sideline grab can now be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you got to do, collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Life happens live. Back after this, Candy and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Candy and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, we're at that point in the calendar where we got a lot going on in the sports world. We got hockey. We got NBA in the first month of the season. Right now it's moving time in the NFL, separating the contenders from the pretenders. So I thought it was about that time where we need to start trying to take a little bit of inventory. And we're going to play a little game called Either, Neither, or Both. And you know how this goes, but I'm going to explain this for the listeners and for the audience on E+. It's going to be two things, and what it is either you're going to accept that one of the two is going to be right, both are right, or none of them are going to be right. And so we're going to run down a list of a couple of items here and just see what we think about both of them. So, Gojo, I'm going to kick it off with last night's game, the Lakers and the Bucks. Obviously not the result that I was looking for because I'm a Lakers fan, but the Lakers and the Bucks will both reach the conference finals, either, neither, or both.
I'm going to go either, and I'm going to go the Bucks on this one here. All due respect to the Washington Wizards, that is not a product I am built to trust right now. I know the Brooklyn Nets are going to have a lot of things to deal with over the course of this season, despite the fact that they are currently second in the Eastern Conference. I trust the Bucks. I do not trust the Los Angeles Lakers as far as I can throw them right now to stay healthy or be productive.
Yeah, I'm going to go either with this one as well. And I'm going to choose the Bucks, as sad as it is to say for me. But I just think the Western Conference has got a lot more competition that's easy to trust in and believe in at this point in the season than the East does. So there's a clearer, cleaner path for Milwaukee. And there's got to be a lot of confidence because we saw the same cast of characters be able to win a chip last year. And so it's just a matter of Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton getting healthy and getting their legs underneath them. We've seen what Giannis is capable of yesterday. They're going to get Brooke Lopez back and DiVincenzo back at some point, giving this team even more depth. So, yeah, it's easier to believe in the Milwaukee Bucks. And let's just face it, LeBron James, he's got an uphill climb in terms of trying to make all of that work with the Lakers. It's a bunch of pieces that don't necessarily fit, and I still don't think they have enough shooting, and I still think they're a little bit too old to be able to get up and down with some of the premier teams in their conference. But moving right along, let's go to the next one, and this is near and dear to your heart, Mike. Notre Dame and Cincy will make the college football playoff, either, neither, or both.
I'll go against the odds here and say either, and I'll say Cincinnati ends up making it. Now, I have a very great deal of pause on that. I'm like 49-51 with neither, because I think there's a very real shot Houston beats them in the AAC championship game. Houston,
wow,
finally ranked, so people are going to pay attention to them. That defense is full of some big-time bodies here that haven't really been paid attention to, because Cincy's the only Group of Five team we can really stomach time and attention for right now. Notre Dame's not going to make this. I think it's going to be interesting. They're going to get close and compelling, but even with a Cincinnati loss, Notre Dame would need too much, right?
Yeah, I don't know why we're agreeing on all of them, but I'm going to go either two, and I'm going to say Cincy, and it would be a damn shame if they lose to Houston in the conference championship game. But that's a possibility. But here's the thing. If they do beat Houston and they win out, then they're essentially going to be a lock, because I think there are going to be some of those teams in front of them that ultimately end up falling off. We know the Big Ten is going to cannibalize themselves with Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State, and that's going to start this weekend. I don't necessarily buy into this Oregon team, and you've mentioned they've got a tough date with Oregon State in Corvallis, so we'll see what ends up happening with that. And Alabama, I don't know that they're even going to be able to keep it close with Georgia if they get into that conference championship game, and they got a tough date with Auburn in the Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So I'm going to say either. I'm going to say Cincy, but I'm like you. I'm not saying it with my chest. Okay, this is Canty and Golic Jr. You're listening to Either, Neither, or Both. Next question for you, Mike. Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson will be on new teams next season. Either, neither, or both.
I'll go either, and I'll go Russell Wilson. I truly I look at this. The Aaron Rodgers situation's too weird for me to call right now, and so I'll say tie goes to the house. Like, we have seen a lot of Aaron Rodgers singing Kumbaya. We've seen a lot of him getting his way, and I want to see how far the goodwill of the organization, clearly covering for him when he was in the wrong on all this vaccine stuff, goes. Russell Wilson, they have threatened the two things that I heard Greg Olson, who was one of his teammates in Seattle, say: his legacy and his desire to win at all costs. And it just doesn't seem like they're on the same page or getting on the same page there anytime soon. So I'll say Russ has had enough, and him and Pete, that marriage is ending in a divorce. And I just don't know if that franchise is going to have what it takes to show Pete Carroll the door. So Russ may be able to contractually have an easier time forcing his way out.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on this one. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I'm going to say either, and it is Russell Wilson. Just listening to some of Aaron Rodgers' comments after the game against Seattle, when he talked about the good feels that they had walking off of that field on late Sunday night in Lambeau, it just seemed like there was a little bit of nostalgia kicking in, the emotional attachment that he does have with the franchise. He's never known any other place, and so I feel like he's going to try to ride that thing out as long as he possibly can. Although this offseason did allow him to put some pressure on the franchise, I think he ultimately realizes this is the best place for him to enhance his legacy. All right, here we go. Last one. The Jets' future at quarterback is on their roster, and his name is Mike White.
That's not an either, neither, or both. Y'all just gave me a statement here. How dare you?
I know. It sounds weird, right? Either, neither, or both, but it just sounds weird.
His name is not Mike White.
Yeah.
His name might be Zach Wilson. I mean, if you're going to ask me either, neither, or both of those two, right now I'm inclined to say neither, just because this franchise has displayed no ability, no aptitude to have a plan in development here, right? Like, this has been my beef with the franchises not named New England. I'll even give the franchise out in San Francisco, the 49ers, a bit of a pass right now. But when I look at teams like the Dolphins, teams like the Bears, what we're seeing right now with this situation with the Jets, I don't see enough of a plan to go out here and actually help the talented and raw player go out and accomplish much more than we've seen so far.
Yeah, I'm going to say either, man. It's going to be Zach Wilson. He's the guy. Like, Mike White is a great story. I think Mike White can have a future with the Jets as a backup quarterback, but he's not going to be the guy. Zach Wilson, when he's 100% healthy, this is going to be his team. He's going to be afforded more opportunities to assert himself as the starting quarterback. So if I'm forced to choose one, I'm going to go either, and I'm going to say Zach Wilson. This was Either, Neither, or Both, and is brought to you by Napa. At Napa, when it comes to serving you, their motor never quits. From next-day delivery and curbside pickup to getting involved in local communities, that's Napa know-how. Coming up next, Either, Neither, or Both, Dallas and Kansas City will play in the Super Bowl. We'll tell you when we come back. This is Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Kenny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Gojo, we got an issue in the NFL. It's something that's going down in Tampa, and it's not something that's going to make a lot of positive headlines or make a lot of positive waves across the league. This just in, Antonio Brown has been accused of obtaining a fake vaccination card to avoid NFL protocols. And this is an accusation that's being made by his former live-in chef, who is currently trying to collect a debt from Antonio Brown for providing services for him. But according to the chef, Antonio Brown solicited him to find a fake vaccination card for himself and for his girlfriend, and he was willing to pay $500 for it. Now, released in a statement by his lawyer today, Antonio Brown says that he is fully healthy and fully vaccinated, but this is just one of those things that just becomes a bad look, and it calls into question the NFL's verification process when it comes to making sure that all of these guys that are claiming to be vaccinated are actually vaccinated and that they're adhering to the proper protocols that the NFL and the NFLPA agreed to.
Yeah, this is an equally wild part of this, right? Because if this is true and we find out Antonio Brown is not vaccinated, has not been vaccinated, and has been masquerading around the facility as a vaccinated person, this kind of jumps up to the status of worse than what Aaron Rodgers did. Because in the Aaron Rodgers situation, we talked about the Packers felt partially culpable because they knew, the NFLPA knew, and the NFL knew that Aaron Rodgers was in fact not vaccinated, but rather immunized, as he put it. And so at least in that instance, everyone around knew the drill, and apparently behind closed doors, Aaron was doing all the protocol, yada, yada. We don't know what Antonio Brown's been doing. Now, this seems like another situation where we have heard cameras inside NFL facilities capture a lot of this stuff. The league can review this footage. And so if it is true, Chris, this very quickly becomes something they got to look into and come down on with the hammer, because this would now be a second instance of someone lying very publicly about this, or in this case, lying privately about it, but to the people that are his employers.
No question about it. And the thing that seems a little more sketchy about this is that Alex Guerrero, who is the co-founder of the TB12 method and Tom Brady's personal trainer, was actually the one that forwarded Antonio Brown's vaccination card to team head trainer Bobby Slater in order to make sure that that was registered with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in their efforts to make sure that they got as many guys vaccinated as they possibly could. So it seems strange that that would be a part of the verification process from the club side. So I'm just left to wonder, like, what the hell is the NFL doing in terms of making sure that all of these guys that are claiming to be vaccinated are actually vaccinated? We've seen in our society that there are people that are resistant to doing this, but they still want to go about living their day-to-day lives, and they don't want to be restricted in any way. So they try to find these fake vaccine cards. They try to find ways around these mandates by these municipalities, and ultimately end up putting everybody else at risk. And it seems like this is along those lines. So if there's any merit to this, if there's any truth to this, then the NFL has got to come down hard, like you said, on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, there is a level of skepticism that I do have when it comes to the chef being the one that's the whistleblower, because he's got an ulterior motive. There is another motivation behind this, which is Antonio Brown stiffed him for the services he provided, and so he could be trying to stick it to AB. But this is a hell of an accusation to make, and if there are receipts for something like this, then Antonio Brown, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the NFL are going to have a problem.
Yeah, so the receipts that were posted in the Tampa Bay Times article were text message exchanges between his former live-in chef, Stephen Ruiz, and Sydney Moreau, Brown's girlfriend, who texted the cook asking if he knew if he could get COVID cards and said that AB will give you $500 for a J&J shot, Johnson & Johnson, COVID card in this situation. So you're right, Chris. I don't know how you go about proving this one way or another, because this seems entirely different than, again, the Aaron Rodgers situation where he played with the cards up to the people that were within the immediate circle, the Packers, the NFLPA, the NFL. For Antonio Brown, if you send the vaccination card, because, I mean, hell, at any place where you've got to prove vaccination, sending a picture of the card in has been kind of standard protocol in all of this. I don't know how to discern a fake from a real one, or how the NFL would go about that overall. But seeing this, and for Alex Guerrero's name to be involved in this again, is just going to invite a healthy dose of skepticism.
Like, why is Alex Guerrero involved in this, man? Haven't we learned our lesson from the New England Patriots? Like, this guy should not have uninhibited access to the team facility and to the players. Like, I don't understand why they're doing it. I guess it's because Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and the guy delivered a chip to Tampa in his first year. So maybe you're just amenable to doing whatever he wants, which includes giving Alex access to the facility, to the players, and to the head athletic trainer. I guess that's a part of it, but like, that's another layer that just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it feels like with something as serious as COVID, the NFL should have, you know, a clear chain of command in terms of who's responsible for this and who's going to verify whether or not guys are vaccinated. And it just doesn't seem like that belongs to somebody that's not an employee of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and I that part of it is always going to be interesting to me, right? What you put in place as a league, because you had time on your side.
Yes.
You had the time to go through and make sure you were going to have something set up in all of this. Time is going to be one interesting part of this. But again, a lot of people are going to rush you, and I already see it happening on Twitter. Is this going to get the same treatment as Aaron Rodgers? Is he going to get blasted the same way by everyone else? And I will again say, this is a lot more difficult, at least from where I sit right now, to prove. Because again, in one situation, people internally knew definitively what the situation was with Aaron Rodgers. We were just misled in the media and the outside world because Aaron Rodgers wanted to get tricky with his words.
Yes.
Antonio Brown in this situation, we're talking about, again, I don't know how to prove the validity or the falsification of a vaccination card. I don't know what you look for on that. I don't know what the verification process looks like for the NFL, but the difference here is it's harder to tell because we're talking about him in this accusation lying to his bosses by falsifying this, which would make it harder to prove. But Chris, if true, also, in my mind, probably much worse than what Aaron Rodgers did, because then no one around you knows or is aware that they're dealing with a person who is unvaccinated going about their lives with the freedom that we know that provides you in the NFL, in the way you're allowed to move, in the protocols you have to adhere to inside those buildings, that would put a lot more people in harm's way.
Yeah, and it feels like one of those things, if the NFL starts digging and starting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this AB situation, they're going to find a lot more of this. So that has to be a concern for them. But I mean, these accusations at least merit an investigation, and we'll have to see what comes from it. But I mean, I got to believe that there's some way that they can verify or they can prove whether or not Antonio Brown has been vaccinated. I know that's what he's claiming. And so this is going to have to be a situation where the player has to cooperate with the league in order to clarify the situation. And if he doesn't cooperate, then that's going to put the NFL in a tough position when it comes to whether or not they have to discipline AB for a violation of the COVID protocols, because they can't verify it. So this is a dicey situation for the NFL. But I'm with you on this one. If he's claiming to be vaccinated and he's not, this is much more dangerous than what Aaron Rodgers' situation was in Green Bay.
He also is guilty of apparently not paying people or continuing to hire people who want to try and squeeze money out of him. Either way, not great, Bob. Not great. We'll be back after this. Kane Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.